Let me read again the text from 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 3. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, and which also you have received, and wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now suppose that there will be hundreds of sermons preached all over America today that will include at least a reference to a letter that appeared in nearly everybody's paper last week. I hesitate to glorify this column from the pulpit of the Lord's church, but since everybody reads it and everybody comments on it, I feel persuaded and I feel that it's very important that I deal with this subject this morning, because when I read it, I must confess unto you that it caused me quite a bit of thought. I gave a lot of consideration and a lot of prayer to the subject. Now, the letter reads this way. It's addressed to Abby because it appeared in the Dear Abby column. Dear Abby, I would like to tell Philadelphia, and that was in quotes, whose Jewish cousin passed away, not to worry about whether she goes to heaven or not. As a good person, her goodness will precede her no matter where she goes. I came across an article, the letter continues, by a reverend in which he said, Adolf Eichmann, that's the German butcher who had the responsibility, it is said, of killing 6 million Jews. Adolf Eichmann had a better chance of going to heaven than his millions of victims because he believed in Jesus. The letter continues, if believing in Jesus is the only condition to getting into heaven, I refuse to go there. Signed, Christian. And then the answer came from Abby. Quote, I wonder where the Reverend thinks the millions of Buddhists and Islams go. Unquote. Now this is serious. Very serious. But the first thing we must do, the very first thing. Now, this is where we make our mistake, most people. The first thing we've got to do is move the Adolf Eichmann thing out of the picture. It's got nothing to do with the subject. You see, in all this letter, the Adolf Eichmann thing is a smokescreen to take your attention off the main issues. I don't know where the Reverend, who was quoted in the article, got his information on Adolf Eichmann's conversion and belief in Jesus. My information was that he rejected the message of Christ. After he was captured and brought back to Israel for trial, a preacher went in to see him, according to what I read in the newspaper. And that's not a very reliable source, I confess. But the information I received was that he rejected Jesus Christ, and he made this statement, I do not need a mediator between me and God. But Eichmann is not the issue here at all. I regret that the statement was included in the letter. It chills your blood to even think of Adolf Eichmann going to heaven. And I think it needs to be just taken completely out of the picture, because it's not the issue. The issue in this letter, the issues are these three statements. Now listen to them again. These are the three statements that caused me a great deal of thought. I sat and looked at this a long time, and I'll confess unto you, as I shall preach tonight, if you're afraid to examine your gospel in the light of questions like this, you're in trouble. I'm not afraid to examine my gospel in the light of charges such as this, or statements like this. Now, here are the three statements that I want to deal with in my message today. The first statement made was this: as a good person, her goodness precedes her no matter where she goes. Now, that's the philosophy of the natural man. That's the philosophy of most religious people. Good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. The second statement is this: if believing in Jesus is the only condition to getting into heaven, is it? Well, this writer says, I refuse to go there. If that's the condition on which people enter heaven, I refuse to go there. Now, the third statement, and it was made in the answer. Abby answers, I wonder where the Reverend thinks the Buddhist or the unbelievers, those who don't believe in Christ, I wonder where he thinks they go. Do they go to heaven? Do they go to hell? Is there another way into heaven? Now, these are serious questions. Where do you think they go? Where do I think they go? And I face this whole thing with a burden and a broken heart. Somebody approached a preacher one time and said, what did you preach on yesterday? He said, I preached on hell. And the man asked him, said, well, did you preach it with a broken heart? Preach it with tears in your eyes? Now, the Word of God answers these three statements or deals with them. And really, without the Word of God, we have no information on heaven. We have no information on life after death apart from this book. We have no information on who goes to heaven or how he gets there without the Bible. And my friends, we must, and let me lay this down at the beginning of the message, we must receive the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible, or we must toss the whole Bible aside. If this is not the Word of God, then it's the words of men. If it's not the Word of God, it's the writings of men. And if it is the writings and word of men, it can't be trusted. It can't be depended upon. We can't answer any question from it at all if it's not God's Word. Now, is it God's Word? And let me say this. If it is not God's Word, if the Bible is not true, and if it's the writings of men, it's not true. It can't be trusted. It can't be depended upon. It's just more religious tradition heaped upon more religious tradition. But let me ask you some questions. Now, think seriously. And this is what I thought about when I read that letter and sat for a long time and thought about it. This was the first thought that came to my mind. If a man dies, now we're talking about going to heaven. We're talking about dying. That's what all of this letter is about. This friend died, and she wants to know if she goes to heaven. Now then, if a man dies, shall he live again? That's the first question. If I die right now, will I live again? Will I? You say, I believe you will. Where did you get your information? Where did you get your information? What information do you have on that subject except what you got out of the Bible? Huh? Now, think of that for a moment. What information do you have on life after death? Is there life after death? You say, I think so. Where'd you get your information? It had to come from the Bible. The stars don't say anything about life after death. The moon or the sun or the trees or the earth or the rivers or the lakes or the mountains, these are all dumb when it comes to life after death. They declare the glory of God, if there is a God. But there's no information on life out of death except what we get from this book. Goodness. This woman talks about goodness. What is goodness? What's good and what's bad? What do you say? Goodness is that thou shalt not kill. Where did you get that information? Mercy killing. What's wrong with mercy killing? Well, the Bible's against it. Well, where else do you get? Well, there's no other information. What is righteousness? What is goodness? Just what kind of righteousness does this God? Who is God? Where did you get your information about him? From the Bible? Well, what righteousness or goodness will he be pleased with? What does he require? Well, I think your thoughts are no good on this subject. Because the butcher, Eichmann, he had other thoughts. Somebody else has other thoughts. How much goodness does God require? What constitutes goodness in the eyes of God? Who here this morning is good and who is bad? There's no source of information except this book. Heaven. Talk about heaven. This woman says, if Jesus Christ is the only condition in getting into H-E-A-V-E-N, who ever heard of this place? Where'd you get your information that there is a heaven? Who says there is a heaven? This woman talks about heaven. Where'd she get her information? Now that book. The term doesn't appear written on the skies or written on the seashells or anywhere else. Who invented heaven anyway? You see, there's a place called heaven. Who says so? What's heaven like? Where is heaven? Who goes to heaven? Is there a place called hell? Where is hell? Who goes to hell? Where do we get our information? We're shut up to this book again. This is the sole source of information. All right, let's take the subject of judgment. We're talking about people being condemned. We're talking about there's a heaven, the Bible says. There's a hell, the Bible says. There's a judgment that decides the difference, the Bible says. And that's the only source of information. That's the reason the infidels have tried to destroy this book, is because if they can destroy this, they can destroy everything, because this is the only source of information. How does a person escape God's judgment? Now, all of these questions on all of these subjects can only be answered and dealt with and handled from the Word of God. There is no other source of information, absolutely none, except my thoughts. And even God says, my thoughts are not his thoughts. Even God says, there's a way that seemeth right unto men, and that's the way of destruction. So that's when I read the letter. I'll be perfectly honest with you, it bothered me. It still bothers me. I hate the thought of any person going to hell. I despise the thought of any person missing heaven. God takes no delight in the death of the wicked. I wouldn't be very godlike if I did. And I didn't get all excited and say, this person is trying to destroy our Christian faith. That's been the goal of Satan and the world ever since there's been a Satan in a world. But I systematically and sanely tried to sit down and think this thing through. try to come up with some answers. We've got to find them somewhere. Somebody's got to have some answers. Life's too short. If there is an eternity, it's too long for us not to be sure about what we believe. So let's look at these three statements from the Word of God. Are you willing to really look at them? And as I say, I'm going to study them from the Word of God, because there's no other source of information. Now, if I close this book this morning, stand up in front of you and talk about what I think, well, the other guy's got just as much right to what he thinks as I have. More so, really, because I'm not a wise person. And the other fellow's got just as much right to invent him a heaven, but what bothers me is, where did it all start? Heaven. Who ever heard of it except what the Bible said? Hell, judgment, eternal life. We've got our thoughts about what righteousness is, but this is the only source of information, what goodness and righteousness is. Every man can do that which is right in his own eyes without a Bible. So let's look at it. First of all, she says, as a good person, her goodness will precede her. Turn to Psalms 14. Let's see what God says about this. Psalms 14. In other words, this person, I understand her calling her friend. I know her friend died and she's grieving over it, and I'm sorry. I grieve with her. But now let's see if we're being perfectly honest, if we call somebody good. In Psalms 14, verse 2, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. And you see the word filthy there in the margin. The word is stinking. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now that's me, that's you, that's the right reverend, that's the archbishop and the cardinal and the pope too. That's every son of Adam. There's none that doeth good. Turn to Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. It says here in Isaiah 64, 6, we are all as an unclean thing, all of us, and all our righteousnesses, Isaiah 64, 6, all our righteousnesses. God is not just talking about our evil thoughts and evil actions. He says even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Our Lord Jesus Christ, a young man came up to him one day and addressed him in this fashion. He said, good master. And Christ said, there's none good but God. There is none good but God. And then in Romans chapter 3, let's turn over there a minute and look at two or three verses of Romans chapter 3. In other words, what God declares positively. And let's be, when we approach this, now you'll be asked probably to deal with this by friends of yours. I don't know what day this came out, but it was some time ago, a few days ago. Don't get excited and get carried away. The first thing that has to be established when you discuss issues like this is the person asks you about it, and you say, now, all right, now, what is our source of information? Are we going to depend upon what you think and what I think and what John thinks and what Billy thinks? Or are we going to go to the only source of information in all the world regarding these subjects of goodness, judgment, heaven, and hell? And that's the Bible. That's where it all came from. Without the Bible, there is no goodness. There is no badness. There is no heaven. There is no hell. That's where it came from. If this is not true, we don't have any information on these things. And Romans 3 says this, listen, verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped, every mouth, and all the world become guilty, guilty, subject to the judgment of God, guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, that is, by goodness, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, this Bible says there is no good person. Now, we may be pretty good folks compared to folks that aren't very good. But when we look at ourselves in the light of the Word of God, in the light of the holiness of God, in the light of the perfect law of God, there's no goodness in us. We are a selfish people. We're motivated by our own desires and our own flesh and our own ego and our own pride. And most of what we do that we call good is motivated by a selfish purpose. The only goodness is the absolute, ultimate glory of God. Now, that's the goodness. And if we don't have that as our goal and motive, there's no goodness in us anywhere. And we don't have that. All right, the second statement. Now, first of all, let's just dismiss this person getting to heaven on her goodness because, number one, there is no goodness in the flesh. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's what the Bible said. All right, secondly, is believing in Jesus Christ the only condition to enter heaven? Well, I believe it is. And I got my information from the Bible. The only source of information about heaven and how to get there. You say, well, I don't believe it's the only condition. Where'd you get your information? Well, I just don't think it is. Well, let's turn to John chapter 3. John the third chapter. Let's see what the Bible says. The Bible is the only source of information we have on the subject of heaven and life after death. And the Bible says, the same one that reveals heaven, reveals the way to heaven. In John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. The world was already condemned, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already with the world, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36, John 3, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The Bible, which reveals life, reveals the way of life. The Bible, which reveals heaven, reveals the way to heaven. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. In the fourth chapter of Acts, let's look at this for a moment. Acts 4, verse 11. Now listen carefully. The Bible is very dogmatic. In Acts chapter 4, verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. He's talking about Jesus of Nazareth. The preceding verse tells us that. Which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In Acts 13, let's look at this a moment. Now, this is what the Word of God said. When we get away from the Word of God, no telling where we'll end up, no telling what we'll teach. Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. This man. In 1 John 5:11, you know that by heart. I use it so often. 1 John 5:11. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is what it boils down to. Without the revealed Word of God, there is absolutely no information whatsoever on life after death, heaven, hell, or anything else. Without the written, revealed Word of God, there is absolutely no information on how to get to heaven, how to be saved, how to be forgiven of sin. Without the written, revealed Word of God, I could stand up here this morning and formulate my own standards of goodness and evil. And you'd have the right to do it yourself. You decide what's good for you and what's evil. Decide what your conscience says is all right, what your conscience says is all wrong. But now, if we're going to state some absolutes, if we're going to state there is a heaven, got to go to the book. There is a law, there is goodness, there is badness, there is evil, there's righteousness, and there's evil. Let's go find out what it is. There is a way, there's a life after death, and there's a way to God, and a way to miss judgment, and gain heaven, to miss hell, and gain life. Let's see what it is. Let's see what the way is. All right, now that third statement, where do the Buddhists and Islams go? Where do the heathen go? Where do the people who've never heard the gospel go? Well, let's turn to John chapter 8. This is so serious. Your whole missionary program rides on this. If they who never heard of Jesus don't go to hell, don't bother them. Leave them alone. Let's start quit preaching the Bible and go to preaching, being true to our consciences, being true to the laws of the state. In John chapter 8, verse 19, then said they unto him, John 8:19, where is your father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my father. If you had known me, you should have known my father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. Now these are religious people. These are what we call good people. These are similar to the Buddhists and Islams. That's the reason I'm using this illustration. These are the Jews. These are religious people without Christ. These are moral, orthodox, ceremonialist, legalist, moralist, religious people who have a zeal for God, who believe in a heaven, a resurrection, and so forth. Christ says to them, verse 21, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. And whither I go, you cannot come. You cannot come. I go to my Father. You can't come there. I go to heaven. You can't come there. I go to paradise. He said to the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. But he says to these religious people, you don't know me. You don't know my Father. And where I go, you can't come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. And he said to them, now you're from beneath. That's your reasoning. I am from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins.
For if you believe not that I am He, the Messiah, you'll die in your sins. That's the whole foundation of it. You see that? If you believe not that I'm He, you're going to die in your sins. And when you die in your sins, you come before God in the judgment, and you're judged for your sins, and the soul that sinned it, it must die. It must die. Turn to Mark 16. What happens to the religious person without Christ? Well, the Bible says that if you believe not that I am He, you'll die in your sins. If you believe not that I am He, where I go, you can't come. In Mark 16, verse 15, our Lord said to the disciples, "Now you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not." Do the Buddhists believe on Christ? No. Shall be damned. Do the Islams believe in Christ? No. Shall be damned. Do the heathen believe in Christ? No. Shall be damned. Do the people, the so-called religious leaders of our nation, the liberals, do they believe in Christ? No. Shall be damned. But the Bible says, and that's the only source of information I got. I've got to bow to the Word of God. Now, if you can tear that page out, why can't you tear it all out? If you can tear that out, these scriptures which I've read this morning, what keeps me from tearing the rest of it out? Turn to John 5. John 5, verse 21. John 5, verse 21. Now listen. John 5, 21. "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. For the Father judgeth no man. He hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, Christ's voice, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself." Another scripture, John 12. Don't get weary with me now. Let's move. Let's think about this. This is awfully important. This is awfully important. Our whole, I hesitate to use the word, but religious philosophy, our whole system of faith, our whole creed, our articles of faith, our hope for eternity, everything hinges on what we're talking about right now. John 12:48. It's not fair to the people to be wrong. It's not right. It's better, Christ said, if a man believes a lie and teaches people a lie, it's better to hang a millstone about his neck and throw him in the river. That's how serious this is. John 12:48. "He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I've spoken, the same will judge him in the last day." This is it. "For I have not spoken of Myself. When I said I'm the way and no man comes to the Father but by Me, those are not My words. But the Father which sent Me, He gave Me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak." When He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned," He said, that's the Father's word. Second Thessalonians 1. I won't keep you much longer, but let's look at this one. Second Thessalonians 1, verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Who's coming? The Lord Jesus. In flaming fire. He came as the lamb. He's coming back as the lion. He came to redeem. He's coming back for restitution. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. He's coming down here to be glorified in those who believe. And he's coming down here to take vengeance on those that do not believe. It's awesome. Turn to Luke chapter 23. This is the reason that the old timers called it the burden of the Word of God. This is what weighs my heart down so heavily when I see preachers in the pulpit. And I'll name some names like this Harrington and all the rest of them who make fools of themselves, joking and carrying on foolishness. It's fun being saved and all this awful foolishness. We are dealing with awesome, heavy matters. People do not know Christ. They're separated from the presence of God eternally. In Luke 23, verse 27, look at this. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which bewailed and lamented him. Now here, Christ is going to the cross. He's carrying that heavy cross headed for Golgotha's hill. The blood streaming from his forehead and from his back and in a weakened condition. He didn't even look like a man. He'd battered and bruised and tortured and persecuted. And he carried that cross and these women were crying and lamenting him. And he turned to them and he said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they'll say, blessed are the barren. Blessed is that woman who never had a child. Blessed are the paps which never gave suck. Blessed is that woman who never bore a child, that man who never was a father. For they shall begin to say to the mountains in that they fall on us and to the hills cover us. From whom?" Well, let's turn over to the book of Revelation and see this fulfilled in the book of Revelation in the future. Now, Christ said, the day's coming. You talk about, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. The day's coming in God's terrible wrath when they'll say, "Blessed is that woman who never had a child and that man who never sired a child." They are so blessed. Look at Revelation 6, verse 15. "And the kings of this earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the caves, in the dens, in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb." Who is the Lamb? Jesus Christ. He is who it's all about. He is what it's all about. When people are taken to glory in the presence of the Heavenly Father, they're going to praise him. Who are these and whence came they? These are they that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. People who are banished from God's presence, who in that day will cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him, the Lamb of God. They didn't believe on him. They didn't receive him. Those who are rejoicing with him received him, believed him. Those who are separated from him, eternally condemned and damned and destroyed, are crying to be separated from him. He's the issue. You say, preacher, do letters like that trouble you? Oh, they trouble me something awful. Because I tremble for those who write them, and I tremble for those who believe them, and I tremble for those who can't answer them. Be able to give a reason for the hope that is in you. This is my hope. And I'll tell you this. Other than this word, there is no hope. There's no hope. There's no place to put your foot. There's no place to rest. There's no foundation. There's no rock other than the Word of God. There is no rock. Our Father in heaven, we believe thy word. I will hide thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, that there may not be found in me an evil heart of unbelief. I will not put a question mark upon thy word. Grant, O Lord, that not even the imagination or the thought of doubt concerning thy word shall fill my heart and my mind. O God, give us faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please thee. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let us not be banished from thy presence as the Israelites in the wilderness because of unbelief. They could not enter in because of unbelief. They turned and went back into the wilderness of sin because of unbelief. While we're dwelling upon these issues of law and works and right and wrong and what's good and what's evil, O God, grant that we might not stumble over that which is the chief evil, unbelief, unbelief, unbelief. Through Christ our Lord we pray, and in his name, amen.